So tonight's chapter is a very essential chapter. It is all about the laws of gossip. How to get the most out of your gossip. No, how to not gossip and what you're not allowed to do and how to speak properly about your fellow. So we are in the book of Mada and we are in the section called Deot, which is like character, attitudes, and we are chapter 7. Here it goes. Hamaragel b'chaveiro over b'lo taseh. A person who collects gossip about his fellow has transgressed a negative commandment, as it says in Leviticus, lo telech rachil b'amecha. Do not go around gossiping among your people. Rachil literally is a peddler, peddling gossip. Even though the liability for this sin, there's no lashes. Avon gadol hu, it is still a grave sin. Vigorem laharog nefashos rabos mi Yisrael, and it causes the death, the murder, of many Jewish souls, many people, Jewish people. Therefore, when the Torah tells us, don't be a gossiper, it juxtaposes it with another law, which says, lo ta'amod al dam re'acha, do not stand over your neighbor's, your fellow's blood. Meaning that there's a connection between the laws of gossip and causing bloodshed, that gossip can in fact lead to bloodshed. And Rambam brings you a historical proof. Go out and learn. Ma'eda l'doeg ho'adoimi, what happened to Doeg the Edomite. The story of Doeg the Edomite is as follows. Doeg the Edomite was an advisor to King Saul. And as you know, King Saul and King David didn't get along. And King David was once harbored by the city of Nov the Kohanim, Achimelech the Kohen, Agadol. And when Doeg mentioned this to Saul, that the city of Nov and the Kohanim had harbored David, who was Saul's enemy, it was just an innocent statement. And what ended up happening was much blood was shed as Saul took vengeance upon them for harboring David, who was his enemy. So a simple comment that Doeg made, Doeg the Edomite, who said, oh, did you know that David was being harbored by the city of Nov, that she mentioned to Saul, that caused much bloodshed. So just a simple word can lead to bloodshed. Number two, Ezehu Rochil. What is considered a Rochil? This is somebody who collects information, and he goes from this one to the next one, and he says, Kachamar Pliny, this is what this guy said. And this is what I heard about this guy. Even if it's true, harei ze machriv et haolam, this person is destroying the world. Yesh avon gadol mizeh, there's an even graver sin than that. It gets worse. Ad me'od, which is included in this prohibition, which is called lashon hara. So, Rachil, so far, he didn't say anything negative. He just stated a fact. But it's gossip. Lashon hara is the evil tongue, literally. And that is somebody who says something negative about his fellow, even if it's true. So we got rechilut, which is just talking about people gossiping, which not necessarily saying something negative about the person. And then you have lashon hara, which is something negative about the person. But in both cases, even if it's true, it doesn't matter. Then you have a third category, ha'omer sheker, somebody who says something false about a fellow. He is called motzi shem ra, somebody who produces a bad name about his fellow, al chaviro, about his fellow. So slander. Aval. So that's slander, somebody who says something false. That's motzi shem ra. But what's the lashon hara? It's not false. It's not slander. It's Zeshi Yoshevi Omer, somebody who's sitting I'm sorry, then there's a fourth category of the Baal Lashon Hara, the person who is like a professional Lashon Hara professional. He's like, this is what he does for in his free time. He is sitting Yoshev Va'omer, he's sitting around and saying, it's like what he does. Kach v'kach ha'sapleini. This is what this guy did, v'kach v'kach ha'yavoisov. This is what his ancestors, and this is what I heard about him, and saying negative things. So he's like a professional gossiper. Zelmar HaKosov, regarding this, the verse in Tehillim in Psalm says, Yachris Hashem kol sifsei chalakos. May God cut off all guileful lips. Chalak means smooth. Lashon midaberek gedolot. The tongues that speak big. Number three, Amru Chachomim, the sages said, Shalish haveris nefraim in adam ba'ilam hazeh. There are three sins that God pays a person back for them in this world. In other words, payback. And the person does not receive a shear in the world to come. What are they? Avodat kochavim, idolatry, adultery, and murder. Says our sages, v'lashon hara kineged kolam, that the evil tongue, speaking badly about one's fellow, is equivalent to all of the big three. Furthermore, sages said that anyone who relates Lashon Hara, it is as if that person has denied the main thing, which is God. It's an act of heresy. As it says, Asher omru l'lshenenu, we said about our tongues, Nagbir svasenu itonu miyadilanu. We're going to, with our tongues we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Furthermore, sages said that Lashon Hara kills three people. The person who says it, the person who receives it, and the person about whom it is said. And Rambam finishes off, the person who hears the Lashon Hara, who listens, the accessory to the Lashon Hara, or the facilitator and enabler of Lashon Hara, better said, Hamekablo Yoser Min HaOmro. He is more liable than the person who, or is more impacted by it, than the person who said it. This is a very heavy, heavy law. Take a moment to let it sink in. And then ask a question. Why is it that speaking Lashon Hara is like denying God? Anybody have an explanation for that? Going once, going twice, sold to the rabbi. So Rambam doesn't really explain why, but I think the explanation may be that when we talk about our fellow, you say this is the teaching of Rabbi Menachem of Chernobyl, great Rebbe of Chernobyl, the Ma'ir Anayim, who he said, we had it in Parsha about the tzaras, the leprosy, the word for leprosy, which comes for, of course, using leprosy loosely, the skin ailment known as tzaras that comes because of Lashon Hara, it used to come back in the day when we were spiritually more sensitive. The word is nega. Nega means a kind of a, you know, plague on the hand, on the skin. And if you take that word nega and you turn around the letters, you get oneg, which is delight, pleasure. And the connection between those two things, said the Rebbe of Chernobyl, is that when the greatest pleasure that a parent has is hearing good news about the child. And the worst thing that a parent do to a parent is giving bad news about the kid. And so when a Jew is sitting and speaking negatively about his fellow, and his fellow is the child of God, we are all the children of God. And so if I'm speaking negatively about my fellow, I'm speaking negatively about God's child. So I'm turning God's delight, because God delights in each and every one of us, I'm turning God's delight into a pain, into suffering. And so that's why it results, the oneg results in a nega upon me. So in a similar vein, when I'm speaking negatively about my fellow, I'm denying God, because I'm denying the godliness in that person, if I was truly cognizant of God in that moment, how could I speak about God's child? So in that moment, I'm like blocking God out. I am denying God for the fleeting pleasure of a bit of gossip. The second thing here is that, very interesting, is that the one who receives it, he suffers more than the one who says it. You think the one who says it, you know, he's the perpetrator. But without the person who's willing to listen to the gossip, the one who says it has nobody to talk to about it. And so the facilitator, in a way, has greater guilt than the one who said it. Number four, v'yesh devarim shein avak lashon hara. There are things that are not lashon hara proper, but they're called the dust of lashon hara. How so? Mi yoyimar leploin ishig meishavat. If I say about a certain guy, who would believe that so-and-so could become what he became? What am I implying? That he's a shlamazel, and it's a miracle that anything happened good happened to him. Or if I say, you know, let's not talk about that guy. I don't want to make known what happened and what didn't happen. So I'm not actually saying Lashon Hara, but I'm hinting that there is Lashon Hara to be said. And similar things. Another case of Avak Lashon Hara, the dust of Lashon Hara, is when I'm sitting in front of somebody who I know doesn't like a certain person, and I start talking about that third person positively. I say, oh, he's such a great guy, he did this, he did that. And I know that as soon as I start talking about Mr. B, the guy I'm talking to is going to start ranting against him because he hates him. So if I speak positively about my fellow in front of his enemies, that is called Avak Lashon Hara, the dust of Lashon Hara, because I'm causing somebody else to start speaking negatively about that person. Regarding this, King Solomon said in Proverbs, in Mishlei, Mevorech Reyehu Bekel Gadol, somebody praises his fellow with a great big voice, a loud voice, Baboiked, in the morning, Hashkem, early in the morning, Klolo Techoshev Loi, it's considered not a blessing, but a curse. Why? Because the supposed good of saying a positive act of speaking positively about this person actually resulted in evil, in provoking his enemy to say something negative. Same thing as a person who speaks Lashon Hara in a way of jokingness and lightheadedness, and he says, I don't mean anything bad. It's wonderful that he robbed the bank. I mean, that's great, you know. I have nothing against him. I have no enmity towards this person. I'm just telling an interesting story. Shlomo says about this in his chokhmah, in his wisdom. That is like a person, a madman, who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, and says, I'm only joking, it's just a game with throwing arrows. That's why he says, Shlomo b'chokhmasa, because sometimes a person fools himself and says, I don't really mean it in a negative way. It's just conversation. It's just, you know, interesting. That's, you have to be a chochem to be able to identify the delusions that we tell ourselves. Well, Omar Haloi Misachekoni, he says, I'm just joking around. I'm just kidding around. And also, Mesaper Lashon Hara Derech Hamos, if you do it in a way of trickery. What does that mean? Vishiyasaper L'sumai, Hiloni Deshto V'sesh Dibu Lashon Hara. Person says, I didn't realize that was a bad thing. I'm just telling you a story. And then when they protest and say, how do you say that about a person? He says, oh, I didn't know that that's a bad thing. Or I didn't know that it happened to him. So in other words, because a person really wants to speak Lashon Hara, but he knows it's forbidden, he's going to try to find all these wiggle room out of it. So the Rambam and from the Talmud tells us, we got you covered. We know all the tricks in the book. Don't do anything that's even close, even the dust of Lashon Hara. Numero 5, Echad Masapir B'Lashon Hara B'Fnei Chavedei, whether you speak the Lashon Hara in front of the victim, in front of the person, the subject of whom you're speaking, or whether he's not there. Doesn't matter. In both cases are forbidden. Masapir Devarim Shigayim. In other words, even if he's there, doesn't make it any better because it's still negative speech. Okay, now he introduces a new category which is not saying something bad about the person, but it's basically revealing information about the person that could, that when this information gets out, it could harm the person. Because either bodily, it could impact him to his person or to his money, his property, or even just to persecute him or cause him fear and trepidation. That is all Lashon Hara. Once this thing has already been said in front of three people, so the news is kind of out, so the cat is out of the bag, and the prohibition of saying it to somebody else is no longer present. So if one of those three people who heard this went and repeated it, it's not called Lashon Hara. As long as he's not, you know, going and posting it on the New York Times for the whole world to see and really trying to spread the rumor more and more, it is okay. We just had Lag BaOmer and the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who had to live in a cave for 13 years because he was hiding from the Romans. What happened? There was a discussion about the Romans among the rabbis. And one rabbi was saying, "Ooh, the Romans, you know, they built bridges and they built marketplaces," and he was giving him all kinds of praise. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, no, there's nothing to praise the Romans for. The reason they build bridges is to collect taxes, to collect the toll. The reason they build the bridges is also for their own purposes, all ulterior motives. There was somebody who was present during that discussion, and he went and he told the story, and he said, this is what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said. He didn't tell it to the Romans directly, but eventually it got to them, and they wanted to kill Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. He had to go into hiding for 13 years. So this is the type of thing. Don't pass on information that was said in confidence, which could later come back to bite the person who said it. Number six. Kol Eloyim Ba'al Lashon Hara. All these people of the that we spoke about above are considered Lashon Hara people, and is forbidden to dwell near them in their neighborhood. And certainly you can't sit around and schmooze with them and listen to their stories. Our forefathers in the desert, that in the end were decreed against them that they weren't going to go into the land of Israel. They'd have to wander in the desert for 40 years and slowly die out before their children would go into the land of Israel. What they did, a bunch of things that weren't so pleasing to God. They weren't so kosher. But the thing that sealed the deal, that sealed the judgment against them, was the Lashon Hara. What was the Lashon Hara? Against the land of Israel that they accepted. They told Lashon Hara about the land of Israel, and the Jewish people accepted it. Number seven. So that covered the laws of gossip. Now we get into another wonderful topic, the topic of revenge. A person who takes revenge from his fellow, he is committing a negative commandment. Don't take revenge. Even though there's no liability of lashes for this. General, the rule is that only sins that involve an action incur the liability of lashes. So that's why Lashon Hara, there's no action involved, it's speech. There's generally no liability, punishment, corporeal punishment in this world from the court for something that's only speech and not an action. The same thing with Lotikom, it's a feeling in the heart. Even though it can result in an action, but the revenge itself is a feeling. Even though a person is not liable to lashes for a revenge, but it is a very bad trait. Rather, a person should train himself to rise above his feelings regarding all worldly things. Interesting, he says worldly things. Don't let them get to you, worldly things. People who really understand things well, they realize it's all hevel, it's transient, it's vanity, it's It's like vapor. Vahavivin kedailin kamalayam. These are all vanity and emptiness, which are not worth seeking revenge for. So in other words, if you're a person who is invested and values material things, worldly things, transient things, it's going to be very hard not to want to take revenge on a person who has impacted us in that realm. And so the issue with revenge is you could say, oh, I feel like I want to take revenge and I'm going to control myself. I'm going to contain myself. But the Rambam is giving you a key to get to the root of the problem, not just the symptom, and say, become a person who doesn't take the worldly matters so seriously, and therefore, if somebody, God forbid, does something to you in that realm, to begin with, you're not going to get as exercised, and you won't be inspired. Oh, I got to get this guy back because whatever. It's not a big. It becomes less of a big deal. Now, what is revenge? How do we define revenge in the halachic sense of the prohibition? Omer lechaveda, a guy knocks on your door, your neighbor, and he says, "Hashileni kardumcha, lend me your hatchet." So he says to him, "No, sorry, I'm not lending it to you." The next day, he has to borrow from him, and he says to him, "Hashleini tumcha, lend me your hatchet." And he says, "I'm not going to lend to you, just like you didn't lend to me. Kedera shelo hishaltani, when I was asking you for it, you told me no, so I'm telling you no as well." Hareze noikim, that is vengeance. That is revenge. You can't do that. Ella, rather, kishayoveloi, when he comes to him, lishol, to ask, yitim b'leiv sholim, give with a complete heart, v'lo yigmoloi kashigmoloi, do not do unto him as he did unto you. V'chein kol k'yotze be'elu, and the same thing, with all similar matters, v'chein omar David b'diyosev ha'toyveis, King David said, regarding his own exemplary qualities, im gomalti sholim mirov achaltze v'goymer, have I repaid those who have done evil to me? Behold, I have rescued those who hated me without cause. Now, before your blood pressure rises, let me give a caveat that this is talking about our fellows. And when you're talking about enemies of the Jewish people, such as we see today in Israel, God forbid, or throughout Jewish history, when you have these kind of situations where we're attacked for being a Jew, we don't believe in this concept of ignoring it. Rather, we're supposed to protect ourselves. We're supposed to stand up for ourselves and stand up for our brethren. So here we're talking about our fellow. But still, your blood pressure might have risen. What do you mean? It's not fair. It's not justice. He wouldn't lend me the hatchet, and I need to lend him the hatchet. It's I'm teaching him bad things. I'm an enabler. I need to teach him. You don't lend, you won't get. So what would you say? I'm challenging our friends here.
Wrongs don't make a right.
You're teaching how to do the right thing.
Huh?
You're teaching how to do the things right.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You teach them to how to do things right. If they feel in the sin that you're wrong.
Gotcha. Okay. So Jonathan says two wrongs don't make a right. And Hillel says, you're teaching him the right thing. There's an expression in Israel, they say, a freier. A freier is somebody who got suckered. And there's a great fear of being a freier. So they might apply this expression like, you know, why should I be the freier and give him the thing? But you're saying, do the right thing and you'll teach him the right way. Bring positivity into the world. Don't let his negativity make you negative. I think there's another element here, which is you got to bring God into the picture, right? God says, somebody asks you to borrow the hammer, you lend him the hammer. That's what God says. You have a whole cheshbon, whole calculation that you shouldn't lend to him because what he did to you yesterday. Don't let it get into the equation. You do the right thing. God is telling you to do the right thing. That's way more valuable than getting the guy back or teaching him a lesson. And as we saw, Mavir al midosav, to transcend, to rise above your feelings, this is a great quality for the human being to strive for. Still, easier said than done. It really hurts when a person treated you a certain way and the Torah is saying, just ignore it. I mean, I shouldn't say ignore it. A person harms you, you could speak about it. You could say, you know, that was hurtful to me and so on and so forth. You're supposed to be open, an honest communication. Still, it's a very difficult mitzvah to fulfill. I would say perhaps one of the hardest. Okay, I think this is the last halacha for today. Numero 8. Somebody who bears a grudge against a fellow Jew, he is transgressing a negative commandment, as it says, do not bear a grudge against the children of your people. And what does it mean to bear a grudge? Reuven said to Shimon, rent to me this house, or lend to me this ox. And Shimon says, sorry, not happening. Days later, Shimon comes to Reuven and says, hey, I'd like to borrow something from you. I'd like to rent something from you. And Reuven says, no problem. Here you go. I'm going to lend it to you. But then he adds a little editorial and he says, I'm not like you. I'm not going to repay you like you did. Wow. You think this guy's pretty good? He didn't take revenge. No. Because the Torah holds us to a high standard. It says, don't bear a grudge. Rather, erase it from your heart and don't hold on to it. Lo yitreno means like you're guarding it. You're holding on to the resentment. You're giving it free rent in your heart. Just erase it from your heart. Cardiologist will thank you. Get it out of your heart and forget about it. Shekol's manchu noiteres adavar. I think it said one of the sages, that he never went to sleep without forgiving. Without forgiving. He went to sleep with a clean heart. She calls Manchu Noite Sadover, as long as you are holding on to that thing and you're guarding it. Vizoichre, and you're remembering it. Shema Yavi Linkaim. Then you're one step away from taking revenge. Therefore, the Torah was very insistent that we not bear a grudge. Until the offense should be completely erased from your heart and you will not remember it at all. It's interesting. We generally think of fences for the Torah, like don't eat milk and chicken, even though the Torah only says milk and meat. Those fences, so that we don't desecrate the Torah, as rabbinic ordinances. We don't think of Torah law itself containing fences. But there are a few examples, Rabbi Yosef Engel talks about this, where you do see in the Torah itself this type of a mitzvah. One of them is chametz. They have to get rid of it in such a strong way so that you don't come to eat it, according to some opinions. That's the idea. And here you see a similar idea that the commandment not to bear a grudge is so that you don't come to take revenge. And with this type of attitude, this type of quality, permits a stable environment, trade of people with one another, when you have this attitude of let it go. So that, my friends, concludes our chapter for today. We welcome any questions and or comments.
I was going to say, given that Shavuot is this week, and you mentioned Dag the Edomite.
Yes.
Another piece of gossip that he said led to Samuel writing the Book of Ruth when he challenged essentially King David's lineage. And he said, oh, his great-grandmother was, Ruth, a Moabite. And because of that, he's not
going
to be a king. He's not, and so, and he's not even Jewish, I think. Maybe.
Right, that's what he's saying.
And so that, don't worry, Saul. Don't worry, which is Lashon Hara. And so that ended up leading, they went to, I think the head of the Sanhedrin was Samuel.
Exactly.
And they asked for a ruling, and Samuel wrote essentially the Book of Ruth to say David is from legitimate lineage. So that's what I thought where you were going with, a bit of gossip from Doug.
From Doig, yeah.
He was a habitual gossiper.
That's right, that's right. So I'll leave you with this thought. Thank you, Jonathan. I'll leave you with this. You reminded me of, and a great connection to Shavuot, which is David's holiday. Doeg and David have the same gematria, right? The first two letters are the same, Dalet and Vav. And then the last letter of David is Dalet, which is the fourth letter. And the last two letters of Doeg is Aleph and Gimel, 1 and 3, which is 4. So the gematria, the numeric equivalent of both names, is identical. And what that means is that David and Doeg were similar in the sense that they were both great Torah scholars. But one had the knowledge without the wisdom. Doeg had the knowledge without the wisdom. And so he knew a lot of Torah, but he couldn't put it into practice, and the quality of his character was quite low. And so they both had the same capacities, but Doeg wasn't able to transform his heart. And therefore, what does Doeg mean? Doeg means to worry. Doeg means to worry. Daigis in Yiddish comes from daaga, which means worries. David means love. Dod, ani ledod divedod ili. And so a person like David, who lives his life like David, as we had today in the Rambam of King David, who says, I never repaid my enemies. He's talking about Saul, by the way. Saul was trying to kill him. And King David he had a chance to kill Saul, famously, and he let him live. He says, I didn't repay my enemies. That's David. A person who lives his life in that way, in love with God, is the opposite of Doeg. But with Doeg, the path of Doeg leads not to a good or happy life. It leads to Doeg to worry, to anxiety, and not something that you want. So we go, as Shavuos comes, we go on the path of David, the path of forgiveness, and there's a prayer every single night before you go to sleep. Hareini moichil lechol mi. The prayer before going to sleep. Behold, I forgive any person who harmed me in any way. Verbally, this way, that way. It's written by an attorney. In this life, or even in a different incarnation, in a previous life, who harmed me, I forgive them. I don't want to go to sleep withholding any grudge against any person. That's the way to go to sleep. You don't need melatonin. Speak to your doctor. But one of the ways to go to sleep is to forgive. Thank you, gentlemen. This has been another wonderful chapter of Rambam. I wish you a wonderful night, a wonderful week. Shavua tov, a gute Woche. And I will see you Wednesday, Bezat Hashem.